Okay, Lamed, Vov, Omed Beis. A tricky sugya. But it's only tricky. Thing I once explained, maybe more than once. There's two types of tricky sugyas. There's a tricky sugya where the sugya is hard because the logic is very difficult to work out. What's the logic? What does he mean? And then you have a sugya where the logic is straightforward. That's no problem. But the cheshbon, the calculation, is a bit tricky. Is this the question, or is this the answer, or is it a very long question? I've lost the flow. This is that type of sugya. The logic is not so hard. It's not like we're sitting here trying to work out what does he mean. That's not the difficulty. The difficulty is you have to keep the whole time, you've got to keep the wood from the trees. You've got to know where we're up to. So we'll try and do that together, and we'll see. Things will hopefully take picture. Okay. Now, we learned last time, we discussed a story in which Ravina found Mabar of Ashi. Ravina found Mabar of Ashi. And we have to remember every detail, all the names, and then everything I think will make perfect sense. Ravina found Mabar of Ashi. What was he doing? He had some Evyonos and he had Kafrisin. Evyonos were the fruit, Kafrisin were the peels. We're talking about in Chutz La'aretz. This was a question of Orlo. He ate the Kafrisin and he threw out the Evyonos. So he clearly considers the Evyonos as fruit, the Kafrisin as non-fruit, and therefore Orlo does not apply. And if Orlo does not apply, therefore he was more than happy to eat it. The Gemara discussed, whose opinion are you following? And the Gemara said it sounds like, and that was in fact the Gemara's maskana, that you're following the opinion of who? Of Rabbi Akiva. Now, let's go back a stage. Who's Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva had a machlekes with Rabbi Lezer with regard not to Orlo, but with regard to Maisa. But he was also discussing this very same fruit. And Rabbi Akiva says you do not need to Maisa the Kafrisin, only the fruit. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. So once again, it sounds like they're having the identical machlekes, albeit not with regard to Orlo, rather with regard to Maisa. This seems to be the machlekes that we're discussing. Which part is the fruit? The Evyonos is the fruit, no question about that. But what about the Kafrisin? So if you hold you've got to take Maisa from it, well obviously it's the fruit. And if you hold you don't have to take Maisa from it, then obviously it's not the fruit. And that was Rabbi Kiva's opinion. So it seems to be that that's what Rav Ashi held as well. That's why Mabar Rav Ashi said, I follow Rabbi Kiva's opinion. And I also maintain that the Evyonos are the fruit. The Kafrisin is just the peel, it's not the fruit. And therefore, just like Rabbi Akiva said, Hilchas Maisa don't apply, I also maintain the Hilchas Orla don't apply either. That was the end of the story. What we discussed last time, now basically all of Sunday Shir, also a little bit of a complicated cheshbon, is what about Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai was actually a third opinion on the subject, and he would have held that you can eat both, even the Evyonos, because he maintained that's not considered a fruit either. Or, more specifically, it was a Sofik. Beis Shammai maintained it was a Sofik. Orla and Sofik, Orla and Chutz La'aretz is Mutter. But either way, the Gemara said that's not relevant because we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So therefore, even though it's true, I'm not denying that Beis Shammai would indeed have held that way, but how can I ignore Beis Hillel and paskin like Beis Shammai? I can ignore, as it were, Rabbi Lezer and paskin like Rabbi Akiva. There's no problem doing that. But Beis Hillel, the mokem Beis Shammai, ain't a mission. That's what we learned last time. Okay. So therefore, in a one-line summary, Mabar of Ashi held like Rabbi Akiva, who said that you only take maestros from the Evyonos and not from the Kafrisin. So too, he held that Orla applies only to the Evyonos and not the Kafrisin. Adka. So what's the problem? Says the Gemara on the third line, the tape clay, the nase shomer lepri. Now, what does that mean? The tape clay says Rashi. Second line, the tape clay, the I nami Rebbe Kiva. Even if this is so, that you're going to follow Rebbe Kiva's opinion, who says that what? The Omar le'inyan Maisa. Underline the word Maisa. It's true that Rebbe Kiva said with regard to Maisa, the lav peira ninhu, comma. It's true that Rebbe Kiva said that the kafrisin are not considered a fruit, but he said it with regard to Maisa. Now, if you remember, as soon as we began this sugya at the beginning, we said we're doing a copy and paste over here. Rebbe Kiva actually never discussed Orla at all. He only discussed Maisa. So we're saying that presumably whatever he held with regard to Maisa would be true also Legaba Orla. Also Legaba Orla. Well, now the Gemara is picking up on that. And that's what the Gemara says. The Inami Rebbe Kiva, even if you're going to go like Rebbe Kiva, the Omal Inyan Maisa, who said with regard to Maisa, the La Peiran in who, that the Kafrisin are not fruits. But le'inyan Orla, underline. With regard to Orla, which is an altogether different discussion, who says you would say the same? Maybe Asiri Kafrisin. He would jolly well ask the Kafrisin. Dahavalei Shomer. So here we're arriving at a brand new principle called the Shema. When you have one item which is a protection for another item, so we have to now discuss, how do we view orange peel? An orange is an orange, nobody denies that's the fruit, and the peel is the peel. So when you have Orla, for example, which certainly applies to the fruit, does it also apply to the peel? We would say for sure not. It's not far from the fruit. But here we have a principle called Shema. And Shema tells me, and we're going to see in a moment, we learn this from Apostolic, so it's not just a logic, that because it is protecting the fruit, it gets the halachic status of the fruit. And therefore, Orla would apply to it as well. In which case, by the way, that is a halacha that pertains only to Orla. It's not a general principle. B'chol ha-teira kula. B'chol ha-teira kula, we would certainly say, the fruit is the fruit, and the peel is the peel. But with regard to Orla, we would say the fruit is the fruit, and the peel also is considered like the fruit. In which case, we're back in trouble. Again, what was the story? Ravina found Mabar of Ashi throwing out the Avyoinois, but eating the Kafrisin. What were we discussing there? We're discussing Orla. So why was he eating the Kafrisin? Obviously he holds that the Kafrisin is not part of the fruit. Well, whose opinion is that? Rebbe Kiva. Says the Gemara, I'm very sorry to tell you that Rebbe Kiva was never discussing Orla. He was discussing Maisa. With regard to Maisras, we don't have the Shomer Halacha. But in Orla we do. If you have no right to copy and paste from Maisa to Orla. Because it might well be that Rebbe Kiva would say with regard to Maisa, the Kafrisin is just peel, and halachas do not apply. And yet with regard to Orla, they do apply because it's a Shema. Have a look at the Rashi again. Even if you're going to go with Rebbe Kiva, the Omalinian Maisa, the La Feirin, you know that the peel is not considered a fruit. And that's why you do not need to take Maisras from the fruit, from the peel. But with regard to Orla, Asiri Kafrisin. The Kafrisin are Asa. Why? Davalei Shema. Because they're the protection. So look back into the Gemara.
Is there a difference between the Shomer that you eat and the Shomer that you don't eat?
Could be. We're talking about essentially something that you essentially don't eat. We're not talking about that's completely non-edible, because the story was that he was actually eating it. But we will get to that. So now, says the Gemara of the Taper Clay, Zanasa Shomer Lepri. Why don't you consider the fact that this Kafrisin is a shomer for the pri. So yes, it's not the actual fruit. It's only the peel. And that's why I understand you wanted to compare it to Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But even Rabbi Akiva would say perhaps the Arlor is different because it's a shomer. And so what if it's a shomer? Verachmona. Omar, what does it mean, Verachmona? The merciful one. And the Torah has said, V'orlartem orlosoi, you have to take orlo es period. Now we know the word es, we always make for droshes. It could l'chayra have just written, V'orlartem orlosoi period. What's the extra word es? Es, quote unquote, hatofel l'period. What does it mean, tofel?
It's subservient to
the perios. That's what est means. So anything which is subservient, anything which is assisting, which is serving the purposes of the main fruit, means even if it's not the main item. The main item is obviously the fruit. But the extra word est, which by the way is only written with regard to what? Arla. It's not a general principle. We have, by the way, the identical drasha. Identical drasha. If somebody, a woman, for example, needs a tovel in the mikveh, so we know that you have to have somebody there, medina. You have to have a woman watching her tovel to make sure that what? What do you mean everything? Her hair. Specifically for the hair. Although she knows whether her goof is under the water. But the hair, she doesn't know. Now, 1 second. Who says the hair needs to be tabled at all? It says in the Torah, V'rochatz es besorai b'mayim. You have to bathe the basar. Basar means the flesh, the goof. It's like go through the hair. Hair is not flesh. So the Gemara says, V'rochatz es besorai. Same drosha. Es besorai. The Gemara Nida Darshan. Es hatofel lebesorai. It's tofel. The hair assists the goof. Therefore is subservient to it, and it adopts the status of the goof, and therefore min ha-teirah, you have to table the hair as well. Same too, by the way, the nails. Fingernails, there's no basar, there's no flesh in fingernails. We learn for a pasuk. Es ha-tofel. Anything which is tofel, which is bottled to the goof, also adopts the halachic status of the goof as well. So here we have another classic case in point. Really, you have to take arla from the fruit. But it says es. So S means S, anything which is subservient to the fruit, i.e. The peel. Says the Gemara, S ha-tofel l'piriyoi, that which is tofel. How would you translate the word tofel? Like we have in Brochus, Iker v'tofel. What's Iker v'tofel? The main part and then the, right, primary and secondary. So for this peel is secondary to the fruit. That also has the halachas of Orla which apply to it. Umayniu. And what is that? What are you referring to when you say that which is toppled to the fruit? Shomer lepri. It's the shomer. Which means that the orange peel, if I would ask you, the orange peel at this stage of the game, does it have a halachic status of a fruit or not? The answer, l'chayra, should be, depends. With regard to orla, it does. With regard to maitzer, it doesn't. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva. So it depends what you're talking about. Essentially, of course, it's not part of the fruit. You don't eat the peel. Remember a guy in Al-Shir, Shelley Winnick? Many, many years ago. He once said he eats orange peels. We didn't believe it. So he bought an orange and a peel to the shea, and he ate the orange peel. Some people do eat orange peel.
Chocolate covered orange peels is very popular.
Okay.
And people
take money for that.
The husband of Mrs. Yeah.
And they zest the outside.
What?
Zest. They'll shave off the orange peel at the outside of a lime or lemon or an orange.
Which is called peel in English. You peel the peel.
Once you peel a drop, it's white. But you just take the color off and then it adds flavor to what you're eating. So what if someone did that and just tasted that?
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about peels, which obviously are edible. I mean, nobody's going to tell you And if you put your oranges in a bag, then the bag is a shomer, and therefore you've got to take orla from the bag, because it's not food. But the peel is part of the food, it's just not normally the part which is eaten, so here we're learning that what? It's toffel to the pre, but not with regard to maisa. Again, we're going with Rabbi Akiva's opinion for the moment. So it's not considered a fruit with regard to maisa, it is considered a fruit with regard to orla, and it means therefore we are good or not good at this stage. We're not good, we're in trouble. We don't understand how did Mabar Avashi allow himself to eat the kafrisin. Yes, you might well be following Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but Rabbi Akiva was never discussing orla. Rabbi Akiva was discussing maisa, and there, peel is a peel. But in orla, peel is a fruit, because it's a shoma. That's the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, no. Omar Rava. Now there's a number of versions of Rava. How many altogether?
Three.
So we're going to look out for what word, one of our favorite words?
Ella.
There's going to be two more Ella Omar Ravas coming up. Three alternative versions. Like I said before, we have to keep the wood from the trees. Although we've just been introduced to the Shemer principle, but we're going to see, and Rob is going to suggest a number of possible approaches, the Shemer doesn't apply to every single protection. Why? Says the Gemara Omar Rava, Heicha Omrinam, the Nase Shemer Lepri. Where do we say that it becomes classified as the Shemer to the Pri, thereby adopting the halachas of the Pri? That's only when Heicha, that is where the Isay, it exists Bein Betolosh Bein B'mechubar, whether plucked off from the tree, that's Tolosh Bein B'mechubar, or still connected, whether detached or attached to the tree. But hocher over here, b'mechubar isay, it exists. This peel exists only as long as the fruit is attached to the tree. But betolush leisay. But once you detach the fruit from the tree, what happens to the peel?
Falls off.
It gets shedded.
That's the slough, right? That's
your principle. Yeah, the kafrisin, right? And therefore, it's not a general principle that anything covering a fruit has the halachic status of a shemer. It is only, for example, if we gave the example of an orange, where the peel surrounds and protects the orange, whether the orange is attached or detached, makes no difference. That's considered a shemer. But in the case of the kafrisin, apparently, the kafrisin are protecting the avyoinois as long as it is mechubar. It's attached to the tree, but once you take it off the tree, then it sheds its peel. That's not considered a shame. Says Rashi, last wide line. Betolush leisei soifoi shenoifel heimenu. It'll end up falling from it. It ends up falling. Kishemagia lehisbashel. We're bumping into now a very, very important word. Lehisbashel does not mean cooked. It means ripe. Kishemagia lehisbashel, when the fruit becomes ripe. And what? They fall off the tree. Then with it, the kafrisin disappear too. In which case, doesn't get the halacha of a shema. So at this stage, are we good or are we not good? We're good. So therefore, the halachas of shema do not apply to the kafrisin, for reasons we just stated, because when it leaves the tree, it drops the peel. Under those circumstances, it does not adopt the status of a shema, in which case, it's not fruit. And therefore, we have every right to compare this to what Rabbi Akiva told us with regard to Maisa. Whatever Rabbi Akiva told us with regard to Maisa is also true now with regard to Orla. Although it's true that Orla has a special halacha called Shomer, but that doesn't apply over here for reasons we just said. Therefore, the comparison between Maisa and Orla holds true. The Evyoinois is the fruit. The kafrisin is not the fruit, is the peel, and that's why he was eating that. Great. Now, Eisvei Abaya, we are not out of the woods. In fact, for almost half an omad now, this is what we're going to be discussing, this principle of shomer. What is the true definition of shomer? At the moment, what's our definition? Any peel which surrounds the fruit, whether the fruit is attached or detached, that's considered a shomer. That's what Abai is going to challenge now.
But it has to be both when it's
right.
attached.
When it's attached and also...
Not
right. Both when it's attached and also continuously, even when the fruit leaves the tree and is now detached, it's still protecting the fruit. Then, and only then, does it get the status of shema. Now, Eisve Abaya. Abaya asks a huge kasha. He says, I'm sorry, your definition of shema does not make sense, we can disprove it. Why? Pitmo shel rimoin. Mitzarefes. Now let's just translate for the moment. Pitmo, says Rashi on the first narrow line. Pitmo shel rimoin. What's pitmo? A pitum, on an estrog. Haperach sheberoshei. Literally translated, the flower at the top of the an apple has the top of an apple, what does it have? Like a stalk and a leaf. If you draw your textbook apple, what would you draw? A nice juicy green apple, a stalk at the top and a leaf coming out of the stalk. That's called a perach. So ke'en sheyesh letapuchim, like apples have, and also lesparagalin. What's sparagalin? I'm not sure. Okay. So that leaf, that tree part, that perach, that pitum, mitzarefes. Mitzarefes literally translated means it combines. For what? Says Rashi, mitzarefes lekebeisa letumas oichlim. So now, this is the tricky part of this sugya. Remember, we're discussing maisa, we're jumping to orlo, now we're jumping to a different halacha, tuma. The halacha is, at least with regard to oichlin, foods can become tomei, tumas oichlin, betnai, on condition that they have the size of a beitzah. So if you have a crumb of apple, even if a tumah comes into contact with it, it will not become tomei. Not all tumis, by the way, as Rashi is soon going to point out to us, tumah kalo. So here I've got an apple which is 99% the size of a beitza. So therefore, if a tomei touches it, it won't become tomei. But if I've got the perach, that pitum at the top, we're being taught that is mitzareis. Even though it's not the actual fruit, but a similar halacha to what we said before, it's tuffle to the fruit. It's not a shomer as such, it's not protecting, it's not like a peel. But it's a similar type of halacha, because it's tuffle to the fruit, it becomes therefore part of the fruit, and therefore the beit shir incorporates the pitum as well. Okay, so pit moshel rimoin mitzarefes v'hanet shaloi, but it's neit. What is the nate? Says Rashi. The nate shaloi nate berimoin kikafres beevyoinois. The nate of the pomegranate is like the kafres of the avyoinois. Obviously, it's an outer peel, and we're being taught that is not mitzarid to the shear of the beitz. The pitum is the stalk with the leaf, but not the peel, says Rashi. Ein mitzarif. Why not? We said before, with regard to Orlo, that there's a halacha called shomer. Does the halacha of shomer apply to tumah as well? Yes, it does. This is now the second area of halacha, unlike Maisa. Just like Orlo, the shomer is considered to be part of the fruit, so too with regard to tumah, the shomer is considered to be part of the fruit. In which case, we don't really understand, so why is this neit not being mitzarif? It's like the pip. Says Rashi, ah, falgav de kaimalon. even though we hold b'ha'or v'ha'rayte, in the perek in Chulin Kul Ha'or v'ha'rayte, which deals primarily with Tumah and Tahara, that shoimrim mitzarfin l'tumah kala, that shoimrim protections are mitzarif to light tumas. What does that mean? Light tumas dahainu tumas oichlin, which is what we're discussing. In which case, we don't really understand why is this nate, this peel, not mitzarif to the rimoin to make up the shear of a kebetzo. Says Rashi, hani mili, that's only true. Klipas ho egois v'horimoin. That's only true, the actual klipo. Klipo is the actual peel of the nut, egois, or the pomegranate. Aval hanate. Nate is the shoymer al gabe shoymer. If you imagine what a peanut looks like, you open a peanut, you have like the red, brown protective shell, and that's of course inside the outer peel. So the outer peel would not be mitzarif, because that's a shomer al gabi shomer, that's a layer on a layer. Only the inner peel, not the outer peel. Aval hanet is a shomer al gabi shomer hu ve'ein mitzarif, and that's why it's not mitzarif. And this is what's taught to us in that very parak we mentioned before called Oyrvahoreite. Okay, so far what are we being taught? When it comes to the Rimoin, albeit that the Pitam is Mitzarev, but the Nate, which we've apparently been taught is the equivalent to the Kafrisin, is not Mitzarev, even though it's a Shomer, but it's appeal to appeal. Okay, let's keep on going. Umid ka'omar hanit shaloi ein mitzarif. And seeing as you have just told me four words, hanit shaloi ein mitzarif, quote unquote, that the nate, which is the outer peel, is not mitzarif to make up the shear of the kibetzah, alma, I see from there, to love oichel hu. But it's not considered an oichel. Obviously, it's not literally an oichel either way. But maybe it should adopt the halachic status of an oichel. Apparently not. The pitum does. That's mitzarif to tumah. That gets halachic status of an oichel. But the nate, apparently not. You tell me it's not mitzarif. So if that's true, I see that it's not considered an oichel. And yet, the Tanya, Gaba Orlo, and yet we've proved the Gaba Orlo that what? Klipe Rimoin, Vahanit Shaloi, the peel of a pomegranate, and also its nates, which is the outer peel. Klipe Egoizim, the peel of a nut. The hagarinin and the stones, the shell, the pits, chayovin ba'orlo. I see that even though with regard to tumah, what's the status of the nate? It's not mitzarif. Why? I'm protecting the fruits. Yeah, but it's an outer protection. It's a protection on a protection. It's a shomer gabe shomer. Now, Rava told us that what is the definition? What is the definition of a shomer when it comes to Orlo? Only when it's mechubar and tolosh. Now we're doing a lot of mathematics over here. The nate of a rimoin is the equivalent of the kafrisin to the slav, to the avyonis. That's what Rashi taught us before. Remember, look in the Rashi v'aneit shaloi. Rashi says neit berimoin is kekafris be'avyonis, which means this neit, which is the outer layer of protection. If it's like the kafris, when you pluck it from the tree, what will happen to the nate? Falls off. Because you told me that it's exactly like the kaprizim, which we've been taught falls off the fruit. So let's put one and one together now. If you told me that what? That a shoima with regard to Arlo has to be something which is maintained even when it's tolosh, and that's why kafrisen is not considered a shoima, then presumably I have every right to assume the same should be true also for the nate. Because the nate also falls off when it leaves the tree, therefore it should not adopt the status of shoyim, in which case there should not be a chiv orla on an eight. The Brisa says there is. The Brisa says again, V'tanya gaba orla, klipei rimoin v'aneitz shaloi. See there the neitz? Klipei agoizim v'garinim chayovin ba'orla. They are chayiv ba'orla. So I'm very sorry to tell you, Rava's definition of shomer with regard to Orla is not true. With regard to Tumas Oichlin, is the Neitz considered a shomer? No. We said it's not mitzaref. Why is it not mitzaref? Because the shomer al gab shomer. Fine. But with regard to Orla, however, it is considered a shomer. Mafurish Abraisa says chayav orla. Something doesn't add up over here. Rava, you told us that the definition of shomer with regard to orla is what? It
has to be attached.
Tolosh and mechubar. You therefore wanted to rule out kaprisin. Well, for the same price, you should rule out nate. It should also not be chayav orla, and it is. So clearly, what do I see from over here? That at least with regard to Orla, Orla has its own rules of Shema. Apparently, even if it is Tolosh, Mechuba, it makes no difference. It's considered a Shema. And it's Chayav Orla. So therefore, we don't understand. The same should be true also with regard to the Kaprizim. So we're back to square one. Are we good or not good?
No.
We're not good, we're in trouble. Again, why was Rav Mabar of Ashi eating the kafrisin? Because he went with Rabbi Kiva, says it's not part of a fruit. But surely it's a shomer. What did Rabbi tell me? No, it's not a shomer because of the tolush. So what? We've just proved that rule is not true. In which case, we're going back to our question. It should have the halachic status of a shomer. Couldn't care less whether it's tolosh or mechuba. You're right, it falls off the tolosh. But we've just proved, beyond any reasonable doubt, that the fact that something falls off when it's tolosh is irrelevant. It's still considered a shomer horaya, and it's...
Abaye brings a kasha to Rava and wants to say, Rava, your definition is wrong.
Your definition of shomer with regard to Orla is wrong.
Therefore, we should be good, not bad.
No, we're bad.
But Mar should be able to eat his kafrisin now because it's
not
a shomer.
It is a shomer. Rava said it's not a shomer. Rava said this is not a shomer because it's not there when it's tolosh. It's only there when it's mechuba. We were trying to use Rava to help.
Oh.
Turns out it doesn't help. That's what I said in the introduction today. The Gemara is not difficult with regard to the logic. It's just the various stages. That's why I'm going to keep on asking. Are we good? Are we not good? Where are we up to? Stage one was, Mabar of Ashi tells us, I'm eating the kefrisin because our whole lair of a kibbutz is not a fruit. Stage one. Stage two is a question. What do you mean, Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva is talking about Meister, but with regard to Orla, it's a shomer. Stage three was Rava. Rava says, no, it's not a shomer, because it's not there, but Tolosh. But we've just disproved Rava. because we've proved from Nate that even if it falls off, it's still considered a shomer. So we go back to stage two, which was our question. If it's a shomer, then it has the halachic status of a priest. Why are you eating it?
What exactly is
the Nate? Of a rimon? The outer peel, I guess. As opposed to if you open up a rimon around the segments as a...
You got a good picture.
You do?
But I can't.
Might ruin the recording. Okay.
All right.
Says Rashi, Chayovim Barla. Why is the Nate and all of those Klippos Chayav Barla, as we said before? Derachmana, the Torah, Rabinhu. What does Rabinhu mean? Has been married by them, has incorporated, has included them. May Ace, period. Quote unquote. Which we use to teach us the rule of Hatofel Leperio. Ah, so here comes the question. The Honate, surely the Nate, Leise Shomer Betalosh. But I'm very sorry to tell you, the Nate is not there when the fruit is Talosh. Shekesh Mesiabesh. Because when it dries up, Neufel Me'al HaKlippo, it falls off around the Klippo. And yet, we're still considering it a shomer. So what do you see? That Rava's principle of shomer, at least with regard to Orla, is not true. How can you tell me that in order to be classified as a shomer, it's got to be there with Tolosh and also Mechubar? Zalala Khan, it's not true. Here I've got a case, which is only there b'mechubah. It's not there b'tolosh, and I'm still considering this a shomer. And therefore we are back in trouble. Big trouble. Why was he eating the kafristin? Surely they have a halachic status of a shomer. Don't tell me tolosh and mechubah rule. It's not true. So it's a shomer. So if it's a shomer, it should be considered fruit as well. And therefore the halachas of Orla should apply to it. So very simply put, the question can really be summarized in one line. Why was he eating the kafrisin? Based on the understanding that the halachas of Orla do not apply to the kafrisin, but surely we have a braisa that says they do apply to the nates. So what's the difference in kafrisin and the nates? They're both an outer peel. They both fall off when the fruit is Tolosh, and yet the Nate, I see that it's still considered a shomer. The same should be true in the Kafrisin. Elo Omar Rava. Now, before we see the Elo Omar Rava, let's just have a brief look at the top tesis. Because if you remember, in this Braisa, we mentioned a number of things. We said, Klippe Rimoin, Nate, Klippe Goizim, the Garinin Chaya Barla. What does Garinin mean? Right, so it can't literally mean the pit. Obviously, nobody's going to say in their right mind that the pit has halachos of Orlam, and you can't eat it. It means the seeds. Which seems to be teaching us a very, very important principle that the seeds of a fruit have the halachic status of the fruit themselves. And that's how Orla applies to it as well. Says Tosfos, Klipeh goizim vagarin chayovim barla wai depeirin inhu. Apparently they're considered fruit. Says Tosfos, comma. Says Tosfos, mikan, from here I see sheyesh levarich, that one has to make a brocha al hagarinin shel good gedonius. What's good gedonius? Your wife doesn't have any good gedonius recipes from Nachum? No?
Yeah, we do, we just don't know what it
is. She has zesting recipes.
Zesting is very popular.
Is it? Anybody heard of zesting here? Okay, so we don't know what good gedonius is, but it's some fruit, and Tosis is telling you that the garin, the seeds of which, so to the garine afarstikim, well, we know what afarstik is, peach, v'shel tapuchim, v'chol minei garinim shel peiris, and all types of seeds from fruit, peiri, pre, oh, it's tremendous. Kiddush. According to Tosfos, if you eat apple peels, you have to eat bread prioris. Why? Because it's considered part of the fruit.
And apple seeds.
Apple seeds. Talk about apple seeds. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, if I see that the garin of these fruits are chayav ba'orla, clearly you're considering them fruit. If you consider them fruit, you make a bracha.
Pumpkin seeds. No, pumpkin wouldn't be a fruit.
Okay, back into the Gemara.
Garin. I was told I'm going to grow an apple tree in my stomach.
It was a peach.
So I became tall.
Oh, oh, peach.
If you take the pit of a peach, you can open it up, and inside there's some sort of garin. It's sour. It's edible. Okay. So basically, we're back in trouble. We have not yet worked out the story. Why did Ma'a Baravashi eat the kafrisim? Just because they were the peel. Surely they should be considered a shomer. Tolosh mechuba, it's all irrelevant, as proved to us by the names. Elo. Our favorite word. Elo, Omar, Rava, we have to go right back to the beginning, and Rava is going to have to reboot and come up with another definition of shomer, or at least a more accurate one. Says the Gemara. Elo, Omar, Rava. Hey, chamrin on the naselu shema lepeiri koma. When do we say that a peel becomes considered as a shema, thereby adopting the halachic status of the pri? Do you know when that is? Heicha de isa, only when it exists. Bashas gemar peira, only when it's there at the gemar, when the pri becomes ripe. Hai kafres, but this kafres that we've been discussing the whole time, leisei b'shas gemar peira, is not there when the pri becomes ripe. In other words, we're bringing it back a little bit. When we said that a shema has to be there, the mechuba and tolush, well, that rule, that definition was disproved from the nates. Because the nates, also, when you take it off the tree, it dries up and it falls off. So I see that's not a problem. It says the Gemara, no. Just push the clock back a little bit. Do you know exactly when the kafris falls off the avionos? Not when it falls off the tree. It actually falls off a little bit before. Prior to the fruit becoming ripe whilst it's still. That now becomes our cutoff point. We thought the cutoff point is a later stage, i.e. when the fruit becomes detached from the tree, but that's disproven by Nate. So we're going to turn the clock back a bit and we say, no, you know when the cutoff point is? It's got to be protecting the fruit at the time that the fruit reaches Gemar Pri. Gemar Pri means becomes ripe. In the case of a kafrisin, it obviously begins. The fruit is still musubah to the tree and there is kafrisin, but then it sheds the kafrisin prior to the fruit becoming ripe. As opposed to the nates, apparently. When does the nates drop out? After the fruit becomes ripe. Ah, after the fruit becomes ripe. That's why the nates is considered a shema and the kafrisin is not. Again. When do we say that it becomes a shema to the pri? That's hecha de isa b'shas gemar pri. That's only when it's still around, when the fruit becomes ripe. Bahai kafres, this kafres leisa b'shas gemar peira. Says Rashi, kafres leisa b'gemar peiri k'shemagia somoch lebishuloi. when it gets close to its ripening, hunayfel mimenu, it falls off. So we've turned the clock back a little bit, and we've said, when is the critical moment? Not when you pluck the fruit off the tree, but rather when the fruit becomes ripe, even on the tree. Kaf Reis is not there even at that stage. Okay. So at this stage of the game, everybody, are we good or not good?
Very good.
We're fantastic. We understand why he ate the kafris then. Why? It's not part of the fruit, and it's not considered a shema. Why is it not considered a shema? In line with Rava's second attempt at a definition, because it falls off before the Gemara pre. That does not get the halachic status of a shema. A neit to a rimoin is completely different. A neit to a rimoin does exist until the fruit is ripe. It drops off at a later stage. That doesn't bother me anymore. At least it was there till the end of the fruit's development. That's considered a shema. But a calf race drops off before. Which is a good moshul for chinuch. Parents have to be there as a shomer to their children until Gemar Pri, until they're fully developed. No, well, that's the bar mitzvah boy, and then finish there on their own 2 feet. Fine, but we're going to be back in trouble. So far at this stage of the game, everybody said we're good. Everybody agreed that we're good?
Yeah.
We understand why he ate the kafrisin, because they're not considered part of the fruit, and they're not considered either a shema, because they're not around when the fruit reaches Gemara Pri. So far, excellent. Says the Gemara, V'ha'oma Rav Nachman. Again, whenever you see a word like that, V'ha'oma, we know it's a question.
Eini.
Right, it's like Eini. Does anyone say Eini? Right, Eini. Eini, is that really true? Now, this is a very long question. We'll make a start to it today. But again, like I said before, the difficulty in this question is just following the stages through. It's not the logic. The logic is not problematic. Amy, v'ha'omer Rav Nachman, omer Rabba Baravu, hani maschili the orlo. What is maschili? Says Rashi. B'tzmori. Dates. So what are the maschili? Maschili b'tzmori is kekafreis b'tzlaf. Again, it's the outer peel. It's like the nates of the rimoin, the maschili of the tamri. So it is the outer peel of the dates. Ani maschili the orlo, asiri, says the Gemara. There also hoil v'nasu shomer lepri. Again, why? Because they're considered a shomer to the pri. Which pri?
Dates.
The dates. Therefore, just like orlo applies to the dates, orlo applies also to the maschili, which is again the kafris, or the nates. Okay. Says the Gemara, 1 second. V'shomer lepri amas hava. When exactly is the maschili functioning as a shomer? When? Guess what? Only Bakufra. What is Bakufra? Says Rashi, Kishatmorim Ketanim Koidem Bishulam. This maschili sounds very, very similar to the kafrisin. I.e., they're only protecting the fruit when?
At
the early stage. What's called Kufra. Kufra is the unripe dates. That's the only time it's protecting it. After that, it sheds the shell. And yet, what does it say? The kokori le shomer le peri. And yet you're calling it, you're considering it a shomer to the pri. So I'm sorry to tell you, your second attempted definition has also just fallen through. Attempt number one was it all depends on Tolosh and Mechuba. That was disproven by the Nates. Attempt number two was it all depends on Gemar Pri. But I see in the case of the dates that I have these maschili, which are only there protecting the fruit in its very early stage before the Gemar Pri, and yet
it's a
if that's the case, for the same price, when it comes to Kafrizin, I should say the same. Yes, they fall off before the Gemar Pri, but it's still considered a shame. So are we good or not good?
Mm-hmm.
Back in trouble. This is stage 6. We're back in trouble again. The Kafrizin surely should have the halachic status of a pri. Yes, Tolosh and Mechuba was irrelevant. But your second definition, your second attempted definition, based on whether it's there, at the Gemar Pri, Lechaira has just transpired also not to be true. As proved to us by the Maschili. The Maschili of the Tamarim also fall off before the fruit becomes ripe. And you consider it a shame, so why can't we say the same too with regard to the Kafrizin? Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman was one who said this maschli rule. Rav Nachman sovar lo k'Rav Yosi. Don't be worried that Rav Nachman says halachas of Orla apply to the maschli, because Rav Nachman has his own private chiddush that he follows the opinion of Rav Yosi. What does Rav Yosi say? Tznan, Rav Yosi Omer, Smador Osur, Lepnei Shu Pri, Upligi Rabbonon Oleho, period. Smador is the unripe grape. We'll go into this in greater detail next time, Mr. Shem. There's a machloikus between Rav Yosi and Rabbonon. How do you view an unripe grape? And Rabbi Yosi says it's got the halachic status of a fruit. So I see that Rabbi Yosi holds that even something that's not ripe is still considered a fruit. Therefore, in turn, its protective layer is also considered a fruit. I couldn't care less that it falls off before it's ripe. It's still considered a fruit.
This mother really even, because then we're going to deal with Boser, which is Boser was an unripe grape, right? So this mother is even earlier. That's not good. Like,
yep.
First as it's budding,
right? It's an unripe status, and Rabbi Yosi considers it a fruit. Remember, let's go back a stage. How did you understand Rava's second attempted definition of Shema? He said that if it loses its protective layer before the fruit becomes ripe, it's not considered a shema. Why not? Why is that the critical point? The answer very simply is because it hasn't yet adopted the definition of a fruit. An unripe apple is not an apple. An unripe date is not a date. An unripe pomegranate is not a pomegranate. So how can you consider this a shema to a pri if it fell off before the pri became a pri? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, it was never a shema to a pri. It was only a shema to a non-pri. In order to adopt the halachic status of a shema to a pri, first let's establish that the pri indeed was a pri.
Yes, as the Gemara talked about, because something is going to be something in the end stage, we categorize it.
Okay, well, bring that in one second. So therefore, we said that the maschli, which are the protection to the dates, when do they fall off? Before the dates become ripe, which means the dates have not yet been classified as a fruit, which in turn means that their shomer is also not yet a shlemus. It's not protecting the fruit, it's a protecting a will be fruit, but not a non yet fruit. Says the Gemara, yes, because that's going with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has the chiddush that even an unripe fruit is also considered a fruit. Ah, so in turn, the shomer of an unripe fruit, how do we classify that? According to Rabbi Yossi?
Also
a fruit. But Rabbonon disagree. So therefore, everything is fine and dandy. You were asking me, why did Mabar Rav Ashi eat the kafrisim? Surely it should have the status of a shomer. The answer is it did not have the status of a shomer, because the kafrisim fall off before the fruit becomes ripe, which means the fruit never became a fruit, which means at that stage, which means the shomer was never a shomer to a pri. Ah, you brought me a raya from Rav Nachman, not like that, from the Maschili. That's different, because Rav Nachman happens to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We paskin like the Rabbonon. But it's only when a fruit becomes ripe that it finally adopts the status of a fruit, and so to a shomer as well. So at this stage of the game, and this will leave off for today, are we good or not good?
Good.
We're good. Why did Mabar Rav Ashi eat the kafrisin? The answer is because it's not considered a fruit. Why is it not at least a shomer? The answer is, I'm sorry to tell you, it was protecting something which wasn't yet a fruit. It falls off before the Evyoinois ever became ripe, which means the Evyoinois were never really a fruit at the time that the Kafristan were protecting them. So they're not protecting a fruit, they're protecting a will-be fruit in the future, but not at the moment. Therefore the Shema is not considered a Shema. It does not have the lachic status of the pre. That's why you can eat it. It's true Rav Nachman disagrees, don't worry, Rav Nachman is following Rav Yose's opinion. We go with Ramon.
So then in that particular case, then even the would-be fruit would still be eligible to quote unquote eat, right? Because it's not a fruit yet.
At that stage, yeah. We're not dealing with that, but yeah. At that stage, maybe, yeah. At that stage, as long as they were yet unripe. But we're talking about the fruit eventually became ripe.
Right.
The kafrisim fell off before that stage, if they were never actually protecting a real fruit. They were only protecting something which one day will be a fruit. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Like I said, the logic is not hard, just as many, many stages, that's at every stage of the game. If I were you, I'd draw a chart, just stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4, stage 5, stage 2. Are we good? Are we not good? But it's all revolving around one basic principle, and that is, what is our definition of shomer? What is our definition of shomer? Okay, I wish you all well.